Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on the Quirky Catnips podcast, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted, which we will do until the entire audiobook has been broadcasted. We invite all you kitties to kick back now, relax, and enjoy Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
A directive from Gertrude Fletcher, head of the Naval Utah Department of Motor Vehicles. Part 16.
We must have order, or we will succumb to social anarchy. Take these so-called rectal fests, for example. The events staged by Blue McKenna's husband are pure madness. It's what happens when people go loco on a massive scale. Perhaps Blue plans to attend the bodacious gathering being staged by the rectal surgeons in Naval Central Park. Great idea if you want to clear a crowd. One thing that lingers in the afterlife is scent, although it dissipates as time goes on. At the moment, however, Blue is in the ripely rancid stage. She could break up a war zone with that smell. Like me, Dr. Harold Spinkel, known in some circles as Scotty Sphincter, has led a double life. My wayward ward, Blue, was one of the people who helped Dr. Spinkel reveal his alternative identity to the world. That's all good and fine if you're a rock star. Secret agents for the government? Not so much. My understanding is that Dr. Spinkel didn't intentionally set out to deceive anyone. He just got caught with his hand in the wrong orifice. Rather than continuing the charade, Dr. Spinkel decided to embrace his double identity. That's a bad move if you work as an informant. During my days at the horse track in New Jersey, I was repeatedly questioned by law enforcement. My ability to report nothing but the facts caught the attention of both the owners of the track and the FBI. I was able to help the feds corroborate people, places, and things they were investigating without being a true snitch. In the early days, the mob family who owned the track knew about some of the times I was questioned. What I didn't disclose is that I went to college on a full scholarship, courtesy of Uncle Sam. I worked at the track during the summers I was in school, then took on a variety of jobs within the company, eventually moving to Las Vegas, where I worked as a pit boss and dealer at Double Deuces. I maintained my jobs with the government and the mob and never told a single person. I doubt Dr. Spinkel has led a life with this much paradox. Next!
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Chapter 16. Scotty Sphincter.
Back in the days when I was touring with the rectal surgeons, I'd often get asked during interviews about what music I listened to. As the guy who penned hits like Sloppy Turd Sunday and the title track to Constipation Nation, one would expect my answer to be something like Sid Vicious and the Sex Pistols, or East Bay Ray and the Dead Kennedys. I was basically a doctor posing as a rock star, so I'd sometimes mention those bands, thinking that's what people expected. I'd even toss in Marilyn Manson on occasion, though personally I think he's a misogynistic prickster. Anyone who chanced to look at my iPod would no doubt be taken aback by the sea of smarmy songs I now entertain myself with. At the moment, I'm deeply immersed in the Bee Gees. One song in particular, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? There isn't one person in my life who has their ticker intact these days. The social media crucifixion of Brandon's pal, Taj, felt like a real zap to the testes, especially since his mom just got sent back to rehab for starving herself. I'm no fan of Dana Wakefield. I was around to see what happened to Tom when she cheated on him. Now the guy she did it with has split like the proverbial banana Dana would never eat. Calling Tom to tell him his son, Taj, had been outed as gay was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I hacked into the belly of my dead wife to save my child. So this is really saying something. Tom actually wasn't surprised, which surprised me. I had no idea Taj was hitting for the other team. But dads know things, or at least they should. Not in my case. My oldest son could be spinning out of orbit, and I wouldn't even know. Why? Because I've had my head shoved up my ass, and not so I can take a look-see for cancer polyps. My blunder down under with Moon McKenna seemed to underscore this messy family affair. It's become painfully clear that a house of feces cannot stand, even for a rectal surgeon. I needed to take action. Tom agreed to help, scheduling time off work to come to Naval. Initially, I thought we'd just have a group powwow, one of those feel-good things like we had at the beginning of the summer. Tom had a better idea. For a minute, I didn't comprehend what he was saying. Then I remembered, oh yeah, I'm a rock star. Not the cool kind. I wear a disguise. But I've sold a shit ton of CDs filled with songs about butt stuff. If anyone was capable of raising a stink in Naval, it was me. We'd all have to pitch in if Tom's idea was going to work. Moon was easy to persuade, because it involved getting her husband and kids back to Utah. Unlike me, Moon's been able to compartmentalize our little horizontal hoedowns. I'm caught in an endless cycle of guilt, which is only going to get worse when I have to face Randall. It was shaping up to be one heck of a reckoning. Not just about my lapse in sexual judgment. My wife may be dead, but my kids are not. If I didn't vacate this emotional goop I've been mucking around in since Blue died, I'm going to lose them too. Fortunately for Moon, Randall hasn't been able to find a house in California that's worth the money. Everything is absurdly priced, even for someone who just came into a sizable inheritance. There's also been an issue with finding a school for the twins that doesn't involve a half-day commute. Randall was finally starting to see life in the Golden State wasn't so golden after all. Most people can only dream of owning their own home. Moon and Randall don't even have a mortgage payment. I'll bet they encounter less than 5 motorists driving the girls to school in Naval. The only thing that isn't picture perfect is the local queer fear. This could be turned around with a little schooling. As a rectal surgeon, I know precisely how to ram a salient point up the asses of those who need it most. Tom got to Naval before Randall and the girls, though not by long. Everyone was reacting like they'd just licked a live battery, including me. Good thing I didn't have any surgeries on the schedule. Trust me when I say you don't want someone probing your anus with a pair of suture scissors when they're even slightly distracted. It's astonishingly easy to literally tear someone a new one. I've finally hit the anger stage of grief, which has me feeling more energized than I've been in months. I was pumped up and ready to rip some rectal riffs. Even though it was Tom's idea, he was understandably nervous about potentially causing a lethal amount of discrimination against his son. Tom has talked to me a lot about having a Middle Eastern kid in a post-9/11 era. As a pilot who has to worry about passengers barbecuing their own balls, Tom has seen both sides of this. It doesn't help that Taj's mom, Dana, is once again running sprints in the halls of food rehab. Criminy. Why doesn't Dana do something helpful for once? Seriously, How hard can it be to eat a salad? Tom and I discussed these things over copious amounts of brewskis. It wasn't noon anywhere in the world, but pounding down one cold one after another was exactly what was needed in the moment. I'd taken a personal day from the clinic in Naval so I could be on hand when Tom arrived. I only had 2 weeks left before we headed back to Las Vegas, so my schedule was light. That was a good thing, because this little doodity was going to take every waking moment we had to pull off. I hadn't picked up a guitar since Blue died. I thought I'd sound like a rusty hinge jonesing for WD-40. Not even. Plugging in my electric guitar, I slammed out a series of chords so brutal it woke up Rudy. I kinda dug his howling. He sounded like an opossum being waterboarded, which reflected my exact feeling at the moment. Cranking my amp to just below the overmodulation point, I spazzed out until the whole house was shaking. Tom was driving Taj to St. George for some anonymous food therapy. How screwed up is it that a sweet kid like Taj is afraid to go out for a burger in a little place like Naval? The more I thought about how the townies were treating Taj, the madder I got. It felt good to give a fuck about something. I thumped out a litany of screeching chords in frustration. I should have been concerned about the fact that my youngest son was bawling his head off, but for once I didn't. Rudy screamed, and so did I. By the time I'd hammer-played damn near every song I knew, my entire body was soaked with sweat. God, it felt good to hold a guitar again. Brandon got back to the house before Tom and Taj. I thought he'd head straight to the shed to further punish me for my indiscretions with Moon. Instead, he came in the house, grabbed the last bottle of Rowdy's Righteous Root Beer from the fridge, and asked what was for supper. It was Taj's night to cook, so obviously that wasn't going to happen. I hadn't been to the store lately, and wasn't up for whatever frozen frisbees we had stashed in the icebox. "Tell you what, Brandon," I said, enviously eyeing his frosty bottle of Rowdy's Righteous Root Beer. "I'll treat you to dinner at What's at Stake." Everyone was raving about Naval's newest restaurant. It was owned by someone out of Salt Lake City, hence the absence of a religious term in the title. I knew there would be a line a mile long, but that would give me time to talk with Brandon. Turns out, I'm just as poisonous as Taj. Guilt by association, I guess. Despite a crowd so big it spilled out the door from What's at Stake, we were given a table within minutes. This was the sort of treatment I received in the aftermath of Blue's death. I'd become old hat since then, so the speedy service was likely due to the fact they didn't want us contaminating their dinner crowd by milling around until a table opened up. By this point, Rudy was passed out cold. The tirade he unleashed, along with my guitar riffs, had leveled him. Brandon and I were able to hash out what needed to happen next.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. Pack your bags, kiddies. It's time to take a trip to quirky cannabis country. Find out what happens when a writer turns to reality TV as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. Reefer Madness Ensues in Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get Quirky Cannabis Country today on Audible.com, Overdrive, and BookBeat.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
In a case of the apple not falling far from a tree that didn't actually bear the fruit, Brandon and I were in perfect sync with our ideas. Odd, because collaborating on anything with Brandon, even something like clearing the dishes, is about as easy as drinking out of a fire hose. This was different because it involved Taj. I felt a surge of love, touched by Brandon's obvious care for his pal. Maybe he even felt that way about his family. But how would I know? I've been too busy dick-pickling my sister-in-law. Brandon and I were in complete agreement on this point. We needed to be loud and proud. Fortunately, this is an area in which I excel as the lead singer of the Rectal Surgeons. The proud part might be straining technical definitions, as my behavior has been less than exemplary. I was trying to make up for an entire year's worth of absentee fatherism. It wasn't going to be an easy debt to clear, but I owed this to my son, his buddy, Taj, and even myself. I'd been loop-de-loo way too long. Our dinner meeting nudged Brandon into a rare moment of transparency. He wants to be a journalist. The pay is crap, but life is short, and if that's what tickles Brandon's thinker, then great. I'm glad he spends at least a little time each day contemplating something other than girls. All the same, I felt like a double standard was at play here. No one is off limits when it comes to who Brandon dates, a courtesy he clearly doesn't extend to me. In Brandon's mind, I cheated like the New England Patriots. A bit of steak temporarily lodged in my throat when Brandon suggested something sinister may have happened to Blue. No, he didn't think she was murdered or even run off the road by that wanker, Deputy Kip Nichols, who happened to be skulking around the area when she died. Instead, Brandon thought something else was wrong, like Blue was in trouble or something. When I pressed him for specifics, Brandon said he just had a bad feeling. We both know something ooky happened in the Oasis, only Brandon can't say that without confessing he was out there growing marijuana. Moon and I weren't the only ones scaring these teenage dopers. We all saw something that wasn't real. I didn't want to delve into this, so I changed the subject and asked what Brandon was working on. I'd read all Brandon's articles printed in the Naval Weekly Banner, but I didn't know about his side projects. Good God on high! I had no idea Boyd Fletcher ensnared Brandon in his crazy conspiracy theories to the point where he actually went out there to investigate. I listened with rapt interest as Brandon told me what he'd learned about the operations at Regenerate, the vitamin scam they're running at Juniper Hollow. Hey, I'm a doctor. I can say that. If I thought for one nanosecond some concoction of seaweed and cat urine could cure colon cancer, don't you think I'd be prescribing it? Even if it worked just a tiny bit? I have patients bring in different products from Regenerate all the time. I'm noncommittal, unwilling to disparage a local company, even though I personally think anyone who uses this crap is flushing their money straight down the kludgy. It wasn't the gut garbage made by Regenerate that Brandon wanted to talk about. Apparently, Jasper Stratton is hosting weekend warrior camps for knights in shining lycra. Under normal circumstances, such salacious gossip would hold little interest for me. I used to go out on tour with the Rectal Surgeons. I've seen things I can't unsee. A little dude-on-dude action doesn't faze me a bit. The important thing about Jasper's gang is they pump iron with the regularity of Pauly D from Jersey Shore and have the egos to match. Perfect for rock concert security detail, especially since we were short on time and didn't have much of a budget. Normally, it would be a cinch to get a posse of gym rats to work security for a Rectal Surgeon event. Hell, these types are usually amped up to the point of needing to be restrained. But this was a coming-out party, and the fashion flies were still buzzing around in the closet at Juniper Hollow. The only thing I had going for me was me. Evidently, Jasper Stratton listens to the Rectal Surgeons. Brandon said my request would be more impactful if I did it in person. I had my remote assistant in Las Vegas overnight a buttload of rectal surgeon paraphernalia to take with me. Getting Jasper to a yes was easier than I thought. All it took was Brandon relaying the story about how Taj got axed from his job at the Naval City pool and the subsequent thrashing that was now occurring on Facebook. The rectal surgeons have a Facebook page, of course, but I never waste my time on that hate-churning platform. Ditto for Twitter, which is even more brutal. Jasper worked hard to mollycoddle the muckety-mucks with social sway in Naval. He was risking all that goodwill to perform security detail for what would no doubt be the most jaw-dropping live event ever staged in this area. I wondered why. Certainly it couldn't be our music. Jasper may be a fan, but nobody likes us that much. Jasper surprised me with the truth. His wife, a voluptuous blonde named Kelly, had quietly been evacuated from Juniper Hollow following a drug overdose. It happened about a week ago, but no one in town knew about it. To keep it that way, Jasper used his private helicopter to fly her to a hospital in St. George. Jasper was tired of all the lies. So was his wife. Not that he wanted to chop off his own dick by admitting this to the bigots in Naval, especially those on Facebook. Jasper's entire empire was powered by a social media machine that pumps out slick images of impossibly healthy and handsome people, all of whom got that way by taking vitamins from Regenerant. I wouldn't peddle that crap to the buttholes I deal with in my practice, but to each his own. What was important was a promise from Jasper to bring in 24 of his biggest fitness Nazis to work security. Taj turned out to be the only naysayer. The last thing he wanted was to make a public spectacle of himself. I argued that horse left the barn the second Taj's boyfriend posted his photo. Believe me, I know how damaging all this social media shit can be. I'm a happily divorced man because of it. Meeting Blue after all that scandal made it seem worth it. Then she had to die and leave me with a son who smells like Farty McFly. I love the little tyke to the moon and back, but he's pungent beyond description. Not to brag or anything, but my parents and kids are free-range commandos when it comes to social media skirmishes. We'd all witnessed the online catastrophe featuring naked photos of my ex-wife, Colette, posing with a 17-year-old while thrusting a dirty hockey stick up her sniz. Colette was so disconnected from our marriage, she had no idea I secretly toured with the rectal surgeons. I was gone a lot. Not that she even noticed. Colette must have thought I plumbed a battalion of colons in order to finance our over-the-top lifestyle. Maybe she didn't think of that at all. What did occur to Colette was writing a tell-all book when she finally figured out who she was married to. I gave her the tacky McMansion we were living in and everything in it, but I drew the line at making money off my hidden fame. My kids agreed, conflicted though our daughter, Lexi, was at the time. There was never any ambiguity with Brandon. The photo scandal continues to be a sore spot with him. I wanted to break my own fingers after calling Colette, seeking her help. No way to get Lexi back to Naval otherwise. Colette, enticed by potential media coverage, practically peed her pants in excitement when I asked her to bring Lexi to Naval nearly 2 weeks early. Her fake concern about the welfare of Taj was annoying. Colette is too self-absorbed to care about anything but money and a seriously warped desire for fame. I've had both, and the only thing worth the money is the money. My parents reluctantly made the trip to Naval, nervous about my grief-fueled stunt. My bandmates, Slick Von Slop and Gaseous Iglesias, agreed to help, mostly out of pity. All of us were glad to be jamming again. I didn't realize how much I missed my guitar. The days flew by. Between rehearsals and appointments at the clinic in Naval, I was burning the candle at both ends. It felt good. Hell! It felt great. My bandmates and their families filled up Away in a Manger, Naval's only hotel.
Colette was staying there as well, no doubt trying to entice some lonesome schmuck with her Brazilian waxed honey hole. Why do women want to make themselves look like little girls down there? Sheesh! I'm so glad Blue didn't do that. But Moon does. In fact, Moon makes her own depilatories using ingredients from the Oasis. There's something not right about that place. Hopefully, we've chased Brandon and Taj out of there for good. Gaseous Iglesias and Slick Von Slop weren't interested in whatever Colette was offering. Stephen Finch, drug dealer for the band, said she was too old. Ouch! You know you've got stale buns when even Stephen Finch won't touch them. I was too busy to worry about who else might get suckered. Just happy to have our daughter Lexi in Naval. She was staying with the twins at Gecko's Gulch, having an extended slumber party. During the day, Lexi and the twins brought snacks to the band. Taj wrote the song I wanted him to perform. Slick Von Slop has a son who was breaking into the rap circuit, so we brought him in to assist. I was surprised at how well Taj could rap. Of course I'd heard Taj and Brandon belting out the lyrics to songs when we were in the car, but I never imagined Taj had any real talent. I doubt he's going to win American Idol, but then there's no guarantee I could win at that mindless competition either. The Rectal Surgeons have sold millions of CDs, but our name doesn't even get whispered during Grammy season. We pulled out all the stops to prepare for the show, including building a stage in the yard at Legacy Grove, replicating the one in Central Park where the performance would be held. I know from experience, it's easy to sing something in the comfort of your bedroom. It's a whole other thing to get up in front of thousands of people and do it. Forget trying to imagine the audience naked, unless you want to really freak yourself out. I've seen the fans who flock to Rectal Surgeons concerts, and let's just say, I don't care to see what 99% of them have to offer under all those Cavity Search World Tour t-shirts. Handing a 15-year-old kid a mic worth as much as my car made me nervous, especially since we were asking him to throw it. Beats the snot out of slamming the damn thing down after his performance like a lot of rappers do. Equipment assault isn't unique to the M&Ms of the world. I've seen plenty of rock stars rape and torture their guitars in the name of showmanship. Know what I think marks a killer performance? Treating the instrument that pays my bills with gratitude and respect. This aside, we needed a big ending. That's where Nolan Hester came in. Nolan's family is relatively new to Naval, dating back just two generations. Nolan's grandfather married a Stratton, leaning on the family's influence to get Angels in the Outfield, a sporting goods store, up and operating. Baseball enthusiasts through and through, Nolan was named after Hall of Famer Nolan Ryan. Kooky because Nolan Ryan was a pitcher and Nolan Hester is a catcher. Nolan's dad is a patient of mine, so I know firsthand the family only pays lip service to all the Mormon nonsense espoused by the general population in Naval. Maybe that's why Nolan signed up. Nolan is the type of kid who actually sleeps with his glove, thinking that will increase his chances of joining the majors. So much of his time is spent at the practice field, Nolan never even heard of Taj, even though he's the only person of Middle Eastern descent in the entire community. What mattered to Nolan was making a big catch in front of everyone. I was banking on his burning desire. We booked our concert on the same night as the end of summer sizzler at the Naval City Pool. The event is a big wingding for high schoolers. Prior to handing Taj his pink slip, he'd been scheduled to lifeguard that night. Something he'd looked forward to because the pay was time and a half. Pulling some strings with our contacts at A Taste of Heaven Bakery, I ordered hundreds of rainbow-colored cookies and cupcakes. It set me back more than I thought, but if we were going to pull this thing off, it had to be spectacular, and it had to be free. Well, free for everyone but me.
What happens when cosmetics and polygamy collide? find out in Quirky Killers by Adele Park. Take a trip to quirky polygamist country, where one of the local brides is just itching to get her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Quirky Killers, get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.